Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. Issue 14.
What scene? 14. Oh my gosh, we're like so in puberty right now.
We're so mature, guys.
Yeah.
So mature.
Exactly. We're going to start growing facial hair and, like, you know, get crushes and, like, you know.
Ew, girls, probably, wait.
Girls. Yeah.
I am one of your hosts, Nat, and this is...
And I am Patrick.
And then it's Kat in the hat.
Well, you can call me Pat since Nat and Kat and Pat, I don't know. Like, that sounds like a thing that it should probably be.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah.
We'll let the internet decide.
Yeah.
The internet is really, really... Okay, anyway.
We have no time for this.
We have no time.
So much news.
There's so much news.
Focus, everybody.
Fuck
it. All right,
go.
Sure, okay. So Rian Johnson, director of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, is not doing Star Wars Episode 9. Because he's doing his own Star Wars trilogy.
So is this going to be a trilogy in, like... Like, alongside the Star Wars movies that's already coming out?
So,
or are they going
there's
to
been,
like,
there's been public
going
statements.
From, like, 10 to 12?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. There have been statements that the Episode 9 will end the Skywalker saga. Like, that is supposed to be the end of that time frame. And Kathleen Kennedy made a mention that what Rian is working on is an area of Star Wars lore that has not been explored before. Now, what that means... could be just about anything because
I've read some of the new books, so I'm like, that's limitless.
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, you're dealing with the fact that Legends is not canon anymore, so this is Star Wars canon working on anything. So stuff that was in Legends before could still be unexplored areas that have never been handled before. So we could see Old Republic is what everybody keeps coming up with, like the formation of the Jedi would be the story that Rian would be telling. But I mean, we're so early in the announcement.
So kick ass, and I would be down for that.
Right?
Like yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I would totally, like, if you're going to have somebody who's especially a dark writer the way Rian Johnson is. Now, mind you, we haven't seen The Last Jedi, so we don't know if that is going to live up to all of the hype that
we have. So, fun fact, I actually saw the trailer for it finally, because I had to go see, you know, I saw Thor,
right.
And it was in the, I was a little salty about that. So, I'm like, I'm going in blind.
And then you're like, oh, the trailer's right there.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I can't go anywhere. And then I was kind of like held to my seat too, so I'm like, I really can't go anywhere.
Yeah. I think this is exciting, and this is supposed to go alongside the announcement that there's going to be a live action Star Wars series on the Disney streaming service as well. So,
dude, that streaming service, man, they're trying to pick up speed so fast.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw within like 2 days that they dropped, like, they basically like took all their rights back from Netflix and then like also greenlit like 4 shows.
All existing Netflix Disney co-production properties will stay on Netflix and their spinoffs. They will still be there. So we'll still have Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Punisher was even named.
I would honestly say give them 2 years when they actually get it up and rolling.
Yeah.
They're going to take them back.
Well, I doubt we're going to see production on new seasons that aren't already in production until the service. Because 2019 is supposed to launch Disney services.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about the Rian Johnson trilogy, though? Like the potential for something that is completely outside of the Skywalker lineage or something outside of that. But 3 big films.
I don't care about Star Wars.
At all. Did you see the movies at all?
Yeah.
I mean, so, I like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Star Trek, gone, but, you know.
Yeah.
But,
oh, girl. I will make you gone so quickly.
But,
that sounded terrible.
I don't,
yeah. That did sound pretty bad.
Good talk, everybody.
Moving on.
I don't know. Like, I'm sitting here. The thing is like, anymore is, like, Disney is so good about just pumping out movies and movies, and there comes a point where I'm like, are we done?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of getting scared that that's what they're going to do with Star Wars, is just like...
That's what they said they were going to do from the beginning of the new thing. They said they will make a movie every year until people stop seeing them.
Yeah.
That is almost verbatim what the executives said. So, like, they don't give a fuck about how good they are. Like, until like, the box office is not making as much money as the production of those movies, they will continue to make them.
Well, we may see that next year because of the reshoots for Solo. they may hit a film that does not make its production budget back. They're talking now that 80% of the movie may have been reshot with Ron Howard. So that, and that's all rumors. It's gonna, that number will never be officially released.
How much
was actually reshot, but I don't know, I'm excited about a new Star Wars trilogy, especially if they go into the mythology, if they get to say like
I would like that. I mean, there's like, it sounds stupid, but there's like some of these Star Wars books where there's like actual zombies, and if they did that, I'd be down for that too.
Right? That's the thing, is like there's corners of the Star Wars universe that have not really been tackled as part of canon, and you know, so these super high production budgets lend themselves to really magnificent visuals on screen. It's really great to sit there and watch. And, you know, a lot of times they're popcorn or they're deeper than that. There's so much to it. But, all right, well, that's my first piece of news. Patrick, you want to?
I mean, if you're still talking about Disney, I can go, too, because since we mentioned their streaming service.
Yeah. All right, hit it.
So Disney is trying to take 21st Century Fox. And there's, like, arguments over why they're trying to do it. They're like, oh, it's for Marvel. And they're like, no, it's for their streaming service. Because if they get 21st Century Fox, they start to be a huge competitor with Netflix.
Yeah.
A huge one. And you know Disney, they want to be number one at everything.
Yeah. Well, they have the money to do so.
Oh, yeah.
There's been some conflicting reports about what exactly was the quote-unquote talks.
Yeah.
And the talks have stagnated, or the talks have ended. I've actually heard that it was specific properties that they went in there with.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't, well, for one, they can't acquire Fox News. Like, that is actually a key part of the deal if anything were to happen, because once they do that, they're considered a monopoly because of the way that the system is structured.
Yeah. And
also, who would want Fox News?
Yeah. That's the other joke. Why would you want that?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you want, like, if you want to pay, like, an equal amount of money for a service as you will for, like, their sexual harassment lawsuits, then, like...
That's everyone in Hollywood right now, though. I'm just saying.
I don't know, but I think putting Mickey Mouse behind the counter of, like, the news desk would be an upgrade.
Hey, kids, let's talk about how the wall should get built.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
content.
you think about it, and you're like, I'd watch that show.
Let's talk about how we should have no gun control, kids.
Ooh.
Everyone gets a gun.
We're not going to go this dark down the we're not going to go into the mouse hole. Sorry.
All right, you know what?
there's, I think it's a combination of those two things, though. The idea that
getting
Marvel properties back would be a huge boon, especially Marvel Studios and Disney hasn't announced what Phase 4 is in the cinematic universe. And there's been a lot of rumors that they've been trying to do something like this for a long time to make it the Fantastic Phase 4.
Mm-hmm.
So Fantastic Four being back at Marvel, which would be a huge boon, and that would give you a new... You know, set of characters.
Keep killing it.
Right, exactly. Fantastic Four cannot work as a movie under other studios.
Well, the funny thing is, too, is Rob Liefeld, the guy who created Deadpool, he actually wrote a letter to 21st Century Fox telling them not to sell.
Yeah, but nobody should listen to Rob Liefeld.
They say that. The thing is like, I got a copy and paste it. It says, Dear Rupert, hi, James, and whatever, the other son.
As in Rupert Murdoch?
Whoever owns 21st Century Fox.
I believe that's Rupert Murdoch.
It's your buddy Rob. Wait on any further talks until Deadpool 2 opens and does $1 billion in X-Force. This is your Star Wars franchise, and you've only scratched the surface. Everyone on the film side has kicked it into overdrive. Watch the portfolio grow. All the best, Rob.
There's so much about that I don't like. Number one is,
I don't know what to tell you.
Fuck, are you Rob Liefeld at this point in time? Really? That you're going to say that because you created Deadpool, you have any stake in this?
Well, the best he's actually Deadpool- been going around sitting and saying that when, because the Disney's, he's not a fan of Disney. For whatever reason, I couldn't really find the reason. I think it's because they scheduled the Han Solo movie to come out a week before the Deadpool movie, for whatever reason, and so he's like throwing it. He's like, well, you know, they'll be great the first week, and then the second week, Deadpool's just going to kick its ass. And I'm just like, I don't.
Yeah, He really should watch what he says, too, because he just had a Deadpool prestige format graphic novel come out via Marvel, whose parent company is Disney.
Well, speaking of Deadpool, I actually saw they just came out with the first poster, like, for Deadpool 2.
Okay.
Actually, it was, like, basically, like, Thanksgiving style with all the characters sitting around a table, like, really shittily, like, CGI'd to, like, the table. I mean, if you look at it, like, it's obvious that, like, they're not there. Like, it's just all the characters basically from the first movie, you know? And, like, just, like, CGI'd around, like, a table with, like, Deadpool and Cable serving the turkey.
Ooh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And now this is the question leading into the whole, the buyout, potential buyout, is if Marvel, Disney got the rights to those characters, Deadpool included, could they do these hard R, would they do these hard R, and would they have that sort of marketing?
I kind of read a little bit about that too, and they were saying that most likely what would happen.
Kill my plot for a Gwenpool movie in which she breaks into Sony to steal back the rights to Deadpool so he can be in her movie.
That would be a great intro movie, actually.
From what I kind of looked, they were speculating that they would let 21st Century Fox kind of just kind of keep their mojo going on that because they're more family friendly and they always have been because it's Disney.
Yeah.
So,
you know what they could do to like,
but Disney's done some hard R stuff before.
Well, here's the thing: we have underneath Disney.
I'm pretty sure that they would reboot X-Men though.
Yeah, that would X-Men and Fantastic Four would be completely overhauled. They have Pixar, they have Marvel Studios. Who's to say they wouldn't come up with something that like was a subsidiary name? So like whether or not they call it Searchlight. You know, so it's like Searchlight Pictures is what Fox was under the Disney banner. So, I mean, you don't even really see the Disney logo when you watch the Marvel films. It's at the very end credits, but it's not like you don't see the star, you know, the shooting star over the castle kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be more of a behind the scenes deal with taking the properties and then cherry picking the stuff that they want to integrate into the MCU, because it may be better for something like Deadpool to not be integrated, but to have the opportunity.
Just to have him show up in something, honestly. Well,
how hilarious would it be having Captain America and Deadpool with the no cursing thing? It's like, watch your language. You know, like, actually have Chris Evans be able to say that stuff.
That would be wonderful, and I would be on board for that.
Yeah. Or like Tony Stark trying to be all, or Spider-Man trying to be all like sarcastic and dry and stuff, and then Deadpool comes in and both of them just getting pissed off at him. Like,
right?
You know, like actually like silly or not silly but like witty he is, I guess.
Could be really fun. We'll see what
they're just talks right now. I know that they've kind of like the hush has fallen over the field.
Right. I have a feeling Disney went at it big, overwhelmingly big, to have a counter offer come back that's going to be the key elements that they really want.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, a lot of it, I mean, like I said, there's counter-arguments, but some of it sounds like they're also trying to do this to acquire it, so their streaming service in 2019 just basically plows over Netflix.
I don't think that they'll plow over it, but I certainly think it's going to be one of those things where
they want to be a huge competitor. Yeah. It's going to take money.
It may kill past Amazon Prime and Hulu to be
That's what their attempt is they want to compete with Netflix, because I think Netflix is still the number one.
They want to be the Pepsi to Netflix Coke.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, fuck RC Cola. Sam's Club Cola. You know?
RC Cola was good.
It is, but nobody knows what it is.
Right? That's like Hulu. That's Hulu in the next 5 years. Yeah, Hulu is really great. What is Hulu?
You watch Hulu? That's like such a weird East Coast thing.
Whenever they're like Netflix and chill, and then the one stupid name Hulu and Commitment. No one wants Hulu and Commitment.
That's hilarious.
I heard Hulu and Hangout.
I heard Hulu and Commitment.
Hulu and Hangout.
No, it's
because there's commercials. You actually
Amazon
have to get
Prime and Commitment.
Yeah, that's a commitment.
Everybody has Amazon Prime.
Okay, so to get back on news stuff, I saw that the Library of Congress is going to, on November 18th, they will be opening a women or a The title of the exhibit is Drawn to Purpose, American Women Illustrators and Cartoonists.
That's awesome.
So it will be a tribute in the Library of Congress to specifically American women in illustration and cartooning for comic books.
Jill Thompson and Amanda Connor.
Yeah.
Two names that just stick out for me.
I didn't really see who was actually going to be in the exhibit, and I don't plan on going to DC anytime soon.
Right, so. But it's really cool.
That would be really cool. Yeah.
Field trip. I'll just like take a care. See guys, look. As we're getting tackled by security guards.
God. Yeah. So cool to go there though.
Oh my gosh, that would be really awesome to see, honestly. I would still have yet to go to the Library of Congress.
I'm rolling through the artists in my head. I'm like, Becky Cloonan, Babs Tarr, like, these are the current working women in comics right now. So.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
You could give me just a Jill Thompson exhibit, and I'd be fine, you know, like, honestly.
Anybody seen Nat?
He's at the watercolor section. That's fine.
He'll be alright. He'll come out eventually.
He still hasn't moved past A for anime.
Yeah.
Alright, so, that was just a quick thing.
It's pretty cool, though.
A lot to say. Yeah, I think it's really awesome, honestly. I mean, it's 2017. The fact that that's still awesome is kind of sad.
Yeah.
But, like...
Let's not even talk about it. Honestly, right now, I feel like 2017, we're, like, walking forward, and then with all the stuff that's coming out lately, we're like, Back it up!
You know what? I will counter that. I will say that we are walking forward, and all of the information that is coming out is like, wow, we've really been back here when we thought we were here.
So, yeah, it's a two steps forward, one step back kind of situation.
Yeah, like we're doing a little jig is what it is. It's like boom, boom, back.
Speaking of,
it's like
horrible,
we think we've taken two steps forward, and really it's just one step.
Yeah.
Speaking of horrible Hollywood news, then I got the gossip for everybody.
Ooh.
So this Smallville star has been accused of being a part of and actually quite high in said cult. It's a sex cult.
What kind of sex cult?
Well, let's clarify too. This is Allison Mack.
Yeah.
One of the female leads of Smallville.
So she's been connected to a controversial sex cult. I think it's pronounced Nexium, but she's in like a subgroup, and that's where the crazy sex cult comes in. So it's like a smaller niche.
For those of us that don't know much about sex cults, you'll have to explain this to us, Kat.
So basically, the thing that's being said about this cult in specifics is the leader. So the women, they'll do like little classes and to help them with whatever it may be. And they lure them in that way. And there has been accusations of branding women. There has been accusations of them telling them or having them give up like nude photos of them, so if they release any sort of information, they have blackmail on them. There are these accusations floating around that the leader himself is in control and actually makes the women have like near starvation diets to keep them the way that he likes them looking. Now the fun part to this is Allison Mack is apparently in his harem, and she's the like top harem bitch. Basically what it is. So she's actually semi in charge of these women and telling them, this is how your diet is, this is what you're doing. But yeah, the branding thing really kind of, literal brandings. Like, I read an article about a woman. I get what you're saying.
Like, you don't have to explain to me what branding
is. There's such a level of discomfort, in the room right now. It's like,
so the thing was, is I read an article about it because I didn't know about this. And I read, and there's a woman explaining, like, they thought they were just maybe getting tattoos, but no, she would actually, like, there was, like, a group of women that she was with, and she would hear/smell what was going on. This is like, honestly, I have seen some Smallville episodes and I'm like, you are not like your character. Like, this shit's intense. Like, this is like really, really bad.
This is one of those, and this is gossip and rumor at this point in time. When you hear details like that, it's like, oh, this is uncomfortable.
She's been connected to the leader, and that's like the biggest thing. I know right now that this, like I said, he's that smaller niche, and they're investigating it.
even if it is gossip and rumor that she is specifically a part of this sex cult, like, now, like, you yeah. know that the sex cult exists.
Yeah, that's
and it's
true.
Doing things like this, yeah. and so, like, even
and
if she were not connected to it.
Women who have come out with this stuff, too, not just the one Oof. Article that I've read. Like,
yeah.
this shit's bad.
yeah. Weird place, because it sounds like the plot of a comic book, not actual real life.
And it's like, you, yeah, never, right? think, you so. Never think about that stuff, but, like, when it's brought up like that, you're like, oh, yes, of course that probably exists somewhere in this yeah. country, because
well, apparently
why
one
would
of,
it not?
A woman from Dynasty, her daughter is involved in this, and that's, I think, what really started the ball rolling on it. So, and then that Jesus. Came to light, and I was just like, what is going on in this world?
yeah, that's, I think that's probably the cap on that. It's like, mm-hmm. what the hell is going on? Like,
I'm like, I don't really know if anything else can happen, but please nothing else happen.
that's fair.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, like, oh, god damn.
You are all welcome for your heavy news yeah. of the day.
Yeah. You stole my job, Kat. Come on.
Can we,
what am I going to do now?
Are we cool to move on to something a little more lighthearted?
Please, for the love of God, my heart hurts.
Yeah. Okay, Matt, please take us away.
Shazam. We have Shazam casting news.
Yeah.
That's like lighthearted superhero. The Big Red Cheese, as they call him.
Yeah.
The I mean, Red
he,
Cheese?
The Big Red Cheese. Yeah, I mean, he's a big red cheese ball.
He is 10 years old. So, you know.
And that's okay. So, here we go.
Okay, so taking us away once again. Yeah.
So, we have Astra Angel has been cast as Billy Batson. So, the 10-year-old boy who says the magic word Shazam and transforms mm-hmm. into what used to be Captain Marvel but is now Shazam. And Shazam has been cast as Zachary Levi.
Are just for those of us not familiar, are Asher Angel and Zachary Levi well known for any other things? Or
Zach Levi he played one of the Warriors Three in the two most recent Thor films, but he's most known for Chuck, the TV show that I think was on.
I know what you're talking about.
Was it TNT? Like, I don't remember what network.
He was like a spy who didn't know he was a spy or something that.
And then Asher Angel's on like a Disney show.
Oh, he's like a Disney star.
Yeah, so. But he's 15.
Really?
So
he looks very young, so
he does.
I'm wondering.
I thought, like, when I looked at the pictures, I'm like, oh, look how cute. He's 12.
Right?
He's not 12.
He looks like he's the right age to do, like, a classic Captain Marvel story. I'm 100% in for these castings. There was so, like...
Are we going to get, like, the classic, like, cyborg sort of appearance in it? Do we know that yet? Like,
no, I hope started? Nothing. I honestly... Give me 110% of lighthearted Billy Batson, lighthearted Shazam, and then dealing with a mad scientist and his monster society. Like, that's the movie I want. And the director, David S. Sandberg, has said he's doing a lighthearted film. Which would be great, especially with the DC continuity.
I mean, considering like all it really is like you watched it. It started with Superman, dark, 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 and then you went to Batman versus Superman. I'm like, is there happiness in the world?
Right. Yeah, Batman versus Superman. It's like they closed the book on darkness and just said, "Here, eat this." It's a dark movie. It's a really dark, dark movie.
We don't talk about that movie because it's upsetting.
Do you want me to save my criticisms for after recording?
For Batman v Superman?
Yeah.
We can talk about that later.
Okay.
Because all we're going to do is talk about how terrible it was and we just need to walk.
No. I like Wonder Woman and I like Batman.
Not in general. I just have like beef with its tonal arc and thematic arc.
Arc? Question mark? Anyway.
Yeah. No, that's mostly...
I'm gonna, like, lay on the floor, because that I have to process that.
But, what do you guys think of the Shazam casting? I really like Zach Levi. I think he's gonna have to bulk up, but that stuff can be done partially with CG, partially with the suit as well at this point in time. So
Either of those people are, so I assume they can do well if they do well.
Shazam is one of those other heroes that, once again, kind of flies under my radar, because he usually sits in that closer to the mystic area because of what he deals with, so I don't necessarily...
Right. The only thing I really know about Shazam is from Justice League War, and then...
Yeah, let's not...
And then also Young Justice.
Better. Young Justice interpretation of Shazam much better. That is more in line with the character.
Yeah,
this is what I have. Shazam!
Shazam! Exactly.
That's all I know about him is that he says Shazam and his name is Shazam and Shazam.
He used to be Captain Marvel.
He used to be Captain Marvel.
Yeah, but
Shazam Marvel was the wizard.
Definitely won the superhero battle in the courtroom for naming, right?
Well, no one won. They just, DC just kind of said this is too confusing for fans. Like, casual fans don't understand the difference, so we'll just go with Shazam.
Yeah, and it's not like Captain Marvel, like, has another name. Like, you can't go back to Ms. Marvel at this point.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and that's like, one version of Captain Marvel, you know, because then you also have Captain Mar-Vell, which was the full Kree. Yeah, anyway.
Okay. Well, speaking of DC movies going forward, I saw recently that the Warner Brothers motion picture president, Tommy Emmerich, if I'm pronouncing that, or Toby Emmerich, I don't know how to pronounce that, but he said that after Justice League comes out next year,
this year,
so basically starting next year, they're going to just scrap all attempts at a connected universe in their, like a connected cinematic universe. Or not scrap all attempts, but they're not going to try to do Marvel anymore.
So DC and comic books, except now normal.
Basically, they're going to have 20 different they're going to have one different universe for every film that they make.
My understanding is what we have followed to this point as an existing cinematic universe with DC will not exist in its current form. That they will be allowed to have individual films that don't tie in directly with the continuity of other films, but there's already the groundwork for potential connectivity, and that will be part of it, but you're not going to be beholden to that as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
So
I think they're still going to have sort of a central type universe,
right?
But not like try to make every single film in that universe.
Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
The Marvel paradigm became such a everybody in Hollywood wants to do this. And what we wanted to see was a Justice League film. I mean, really, that's the big thing, was we wanted to see these characters get together and
do Justice League. Well, the thing was, DC was just, like, trying to, like, as stupid as it sounds, run before they could walk. Yeah. Marvel's been doing this for how many years?
Well, and DC...
Almost a decade at this point.
Yeah, they've been doing it for a while, and DC's like, oh, gotta catch up!
Well, and they made the mistake of a good film in Man of Steel, making that the central point for a world-building universe, when watch Man of Steel again, that was never the intent of that film. That was an exploration of what a superhero is in our time and what we feel as an audience in that reality. It was also an alien invasion movie, which was a...
Yeah.
And great, I love Man of Steel. I will defend Man of Steel.
Oh, my God! Thank you!
No, it's a great movie. It is not the centerpiece to start a universe.
No.
They saw they had something good, and they had a great actor in Henry Cavill, and they tried to run with that. And that's unfortunate. I hope we still get good movies. I hope Wonder Woman was fantastic. So if we can get anything, I'm so excited for Aquaman. The people behind that movie, just, yeah, there's a lot there. So let's hope... Let's hope this is good news. For me, this feels like good news to just see good movies again.
Yeah, like instead of trying to like spend so much time like figuring out like how we will fit this into it.
Clicking on mouse icons that Lex Luthor made of all the different characters in Batman v Superman.
Please
don't make me flip my laptop.
Yeah, because you know Marvel probably has like a whole staff of writers and researchers that are just dedicated to make the connectivity to it, and DC is still like,
well, not like quite I said, there. They're trying to like,
but like they don't need to be there at all.
No, they don't.
Like, and the fact that they're trying to do a Marvel thing, I think people were just sad that like DC Comics, since it's like such a like seminal like publisher, was just trying to copied our rival.
For the, you know, speaking as a DC fan, that was like infuriating. I'm like, you spend all this time smashing with them all the time, and you don't even, and you're not even using your own idea at this point.
Right?
Yeah. Come on.
And I'm a Marvel fan, and so I like what they're doing with their universe. But I was like, DC, like, don't either like do it like properly and better, and like spend the time and effort to like actually make this universe the universe, or don't do it at all. And like the fact that they're choosing the latter, totally fine option. But like, I'm kind of sad that it took them this long to figure out that they want to do their own thing.
I think something that they can do and that they've shown they can do is visual connectivity. I can't think of a better term for this. That there's a visual style to the DC films, and I like it because it's this sort of like subversive reality. That is present, even in Wonder Woman, which is such a light film, it does feel as if if you put Wonder Woman next to Batman v Superman, it does feel like they exist in the same universe, and they wouldn't have to have characters that enter, that, that appear in both films. They do, but if you just watch them surfacefully, there's a visual connective element there that's like, they feel like they're almost, like a shade is thrown above our eyes, that they're part of the same universe.
No, they all have like a very similar film style.
Yeah, and I think you could do that. Just have them feel like, oh yeah, you put these movies next to each other. Yeah, and just feel the same.
Just use this camera to shoot that movie, and it will be a DC movie. I mean, it's like, I kind of think about that too. It's like the comic books. Like if you read a DC comic book, they have very similar art in most of their comic books. Or at least I would say
I like, will not have this discussion.
Not in their one-offs and short series and like other things, but in their like series proper, most of their especially their big titles, I should say, have a similar style.
I can see where you're going
of artwork.
He's definitely right about
that. It's the Jim Lee style kind of mistaken.
Yeah. So
okay,
but beyond from that. So, I guess continuing with DC news, Dwayne Johnson officially going to be in Suicide Squad 2 as Black Adam.
Not officially.
I thought it was officially. So this isn't news?
It's a discussion point that somebody overheard in a conversation that he was supposed to be, Black Adam may be the MacGuffin of Suicide Squad 2.
Oh, okay.
That they are supposed to be searching for a weapon of mass destruction, and that weapon of mass destruction is Black Adam. So, that would be a character intro. But, until we hear it from Rock's, like, his camp officially.
Campaign.
His campaign. Rock for president.
I mean, dude, you had the best slogan. I will vote for you.
I won't, because the president of the United States is not a popularity contest. We're not having this discussion.
Anyway, but what this means really is that it's a definite that Rock is once again fully invested in whatever the DC universe of films will be. He is a part of it as Black Adam, because there was some discussion at San Diego Comic-Con that his schedule was too tight, that they couldn't fit him in. So I don't think he's going to be in the first Shazam film. And actually, I think that's smart. I think you introduce Shazam first. You introduce the wizard. You get all of that mythology.
But yeah, because then you don't. Because Black Adam's his like big foe, all right?
Yeah, that's his like his number, because it's the failure of the wizard. That's really what the story is. Is that Black Adam starts as a hero and becomes a dictator?
Okay.
So that's what I thought too. Because that's like his big hero. That's his big. His big bad.
His opposite.
His arch nemesis.
His big hero is sick. Yo, sorry.
Big hero 6.
Yeah. Okay.
I got that.
Done.
But I think that would be. Suicide Squad has elements I enjoy in the movie.
I walked out of that movie kind of like, I don't know. Did I like it? But then, like, the other part of me, like, my friend's like, you just liked it because of Harley Quinn. I was like, that is not the point. I have seen movies with more ass shots, but In that movie, there were a lot of ass shots.
I think her ass got more screen time than, like, Killer Croc.
And I'm pretty sure it did.
Definitely more than Captain Boomerang.
Definitely more than Slipknot, too.
Definitely more than Slipknot. Okay, favorite part of that film for me, hands down. Hey, guys, I'm Slipknot. Remember me? I've been here the whole time, even though I appear 35 minutes into the movie and exit 5 minutes from now.
No, I'm pretty sure that... Yeah. That entire movie, I just kind of walked out of there numb.
I gave it a 79.5. Depending on your grading style, it will be a B or a C.
I love it. That's great.
All right, that'll stick. Stick with it.
Talking, if this is true news and it does come out that this is the MacGuffin, I think this is a really, like, this would be a funny and fun way to tell the story, because then you have the supervillains fighting a worse supervillain and trying to contain him.
Yeah.
That would be cool. That should have been the plot of the first fucking movie, because they should have been going after Joker, and that would have been... Sorry.
No. Ripped. I mean, have I told you my plot for Suicide Squad 1, what I expected it to be going in, even though I was like, okay, it's going to be, like, you know, very sort of cut and dry. Like, the first 30 minutes is going to be, like, basically the backstories of the superheroes.
I love the music in that movie, though. I'm just saying.
Music is good. And then, like, the second act was going to be a montage of them going on missions. Then Joker captures Harley. Third act, Suicide Squad goes back to recapture Harley. Boom, done. Cut and dry, like, plot for a movie. And it wasn't even that stereotypical of a plot. And I was like, God damn.
I know, like, that was a movie that would have been served better to have a stereotypical plot.
Mm-hmm.
Because just, yeah, even the character moments were what we wanted to see. We wanted to see how everybody interacted.
And that's really what I missed.
My dad actually watched that movie, and he liked it. He's like, well, I really liked, she's the one that you like a lot. And I was like...
Harley?
And he's like, Harley Quinn, she was hilarious. Every time she talked, I always laughed. And I was like...
And then
I'm a little proud right now, and then there's some disappointment. All the
biggest thing with that movie, and I know I already said this, but there was no montage of, like, different missions. Yeah. Like, that's what I was expecting.
It was like they got together for that one mission.
They got together for that one mission, and you can't have, like, a Suicide Squad without establishing what their squad's purpose is.
Yeah. You know what? All this discussion actually makes me more excited for a sequel film, because you have that. We already saw their formation. Yeah. So now you can do that montage in the early part of the film.
Yeah, you can make that first, like, pre-credits.
Yep.
Or, like, maybe first 10, 15 minutes.
Or during the credits, you do the montage.
I just want to see Harley Quinn kick Joker in the face. That's about it. It's all I want.
You want to keep going with DC, then?
I'm done with, like, Marvel and DC news, so let's keep it rolling.
Not officially announced, but pseudo-officially announced, is Batman Wonder Woman by Liam Sharp. This has been listed as an ongoing series starting in February. Fingers crossed that this has nothing to do with normal continuity. I just want to see Liam Sharp draw Batman and Wonder Woman side by side, kicking the shit out of some people. Like, this would just be really, really sweet. He was one of my favorite aspects of the beginning of the Rebirth Wonder Woman run, was the fact that you had Liam Sharp doing the art on the current stories, and Nicholas Scott doing the art on... the year one stuff, and it was just this perfect pairing of lightheartedness and then, like, gritty fantasy. So I love this idea. I am 100% for a Batman Wonder Woman comic book being my two favorite superheroes. So I'm on. That sounds great.
Nat Man for the Batman. Yeah.
And Diana.
Nice. And Diana.
Can't forget her. She's the second half of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I would prefer if it was titled Wonder Woman Batman.
Yes!
So we'll see what
if no alpha ties in here.
Yeah. Oh, Wonder Bat Woman Man.
I see this.
Let's keep it.
I see this. Sorry, I was in thought. and I go, well, finally, fucking DC. I am cursing a lot. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's my job. Both of you are stealing my jobs today. Do I even do anything anymore?
You've melded into us. After the success of the Wonder Woman film, why are we not putting top creators on Wonder Woman? So thank you, DC, for putting Liam Sharp back on Wonder Woman.
You good?
Yeah, that's, it drives me nuts when I see that comic book and I see readership down from a reader, a retailer's perspective. And I go, why are these people on this book? You had Greg Rucka and this awesome art team.
Well, it was depressing because I was, I was going to start reading Wonder Woman. I was like, oh yeah, finally get single issues of Wonder Woman. This is freaking terrible.
Yeah, they missed the boat. It just didn't work. Well, it's like right now they're doing a storyline about Wonder Woman's brother. That's exactly what everybody asked for. We needed a story about Wonder Woman's brother. Moving on. Well, I have more DC news.
Okay.
So, Brian Michael Bendis has officially announced that he will be leaving Marvel Comics to sign a multi-year exclusivity contract with DC.
like from a Marvel fan standpoint, I'm like kind of sad because like he's writing a couple of my favorite titles right now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, dude, it's like you can't do it all. Like it's stagnating a little bit, mm-hmm. and I think that putting some fresh people on Spider-Man, Iron Man, Jessica Jones.
I wonder what happens with Jessica Jones. Like, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's true. Like, that's
created.
That's my big one. And Spider-Man, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He created Miles Morales. I forget, like, the existence of the two Spider-Men.
Oh, yeah. I just refer to Miles Morales as Spider-Man because, to me, he's Spider-Man. Yeah, so, like, that will be interesting to see what happens on that, although, like, as much as
does
I love...
Does it say which ones he's going to be writing? Or
so,
just...
there is false news out, and he actually addressed this on Twitter last night, early this morning, mm-hmm. saying, everything that says official on it is not true, wait for the announcements, and he put in parentheses, the S. He wants to make sure that everybody understands there's going to be multiple titles that he's working on, but they will be announcing that soon. So he's like, wait for the announcements.
I mean, I think that would be really cool if he just does, like, what he did for Marvel and just creates a couple new, like, legacy-type superheroes.
I think that would be great, actually.
Yeah. If he does, like, Miles Morales and Ironheart style, where he just, like, is like, here's the great superheroes that you love, and here's their proteges for
I would like a, one of Wonder Woman's sidekicks. I would like one of those.
Okay, so here's... I was cold on this news initially, because Bendis was part of what I refer to as superheroes sitting in the corner contemplating reality storytelling. So you lose, like, the operatic nature of superheroes. And then I went back into, like, the bibliography of the stuff that he's actually worked on. And I remember things like Ultimate Spider-Man and New Avengers and the fact that he writes detective stories like Powers really, really well. And immediately in my head, the first thing I went to is, why aren't we putting him on Detective Comics? Like, why don't you put and do a dark, hard-boiled Batman series to coincide with the adventure stuff that's happening in Batman? You put a true detective story in Detective. And then you pair him with a...
You could very easily take his writing style for Jessica Jones and translate that into Batman.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is take out the bottle of whiskey.
Catwoman would actually be another great one for him. Mm. There isn't an ongoing Catwoman title right now. That would be really, really interesting. The other one, though, you talk about Legacy and you talk about Troa, Titans.
Mm. That's true. I actually don't really care for Titans very much.
And not Teen Titans, but definitely, like, Dick Grayson, Donna Troy, Wally West. Give him the keys to those characters who are part of the history of DC and the history of comics in general. You know, the establishment of Legacy is from that Teen Titans group that is now the Titans. So that would be really cool. Or, like you said, introducing something new, like a new Legacy character. Who would you want a Legacy character built from?
As not a DC fan, like, Batman already has so many proteges. Yeah, Superman has the new Superman right now, who I hope becomes his sort of Legacy character.
He also has a son.
Wonder Woman would be an interesting thing, but don't they have...
Troy.
Yeah,
Wonder Girl.
Okay, yeah.
Well, they also have Cassie as well as Wonder Woman.
Yeah, so...
Isn't there technically three?
Hippolyta was Wonder Woman for a while, so that would reverse. Hippolyta, I'm sorry.
And then they have four main Green Lanterns already.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
DC's been built on Legacy, so it'd be kind of hard to, like,
unless he wants to go after an anti-hero.
I was just thinking, actually, as you said that, like, a Slade Wilson protege.
But he has two kids. He has Ravager and Judas.
Oh, yeah. What about a... And here's one we haven't seen a Legacy of. What about Cyborg?
Interesting.
Yeah.
That would definitely, like, it would go with DC's agenda of pushing Cyborg into being one of the top tier characters.
Yeah, because he's so far, he doesn't have a main title.
He does have a main
title. Oh,
he does currently?
Yeah. Cyborg has an ongoing.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'm dumb, but, like, he doesn't have a sidekick. He's one of the few main titles that doesn't have a sidekick.
That's because he's always been a Titan, or a Teen Titan, and then all of a sudden now he's a...
You could do something really interesting with him where he creates his own, like, AI. Like, a life that he sprays from his materials. And
that would be really interesting. And he could start off as something potentially dark or whatever, and then going into something interesting.
There was another character that was suggested that would be kind of a parallel to Alias and Jessica Jones, and I cannot for the life of me think about
who that might be. The only thing that I thought of that was close, and she's not even close, was Batwoman, but...
I don't know, that's just self-centered at this point. That could be a good selling point, especially coming off of the interesting dichotomy of the portrayals with the character in Detective Batwoman and then in Nightwing New Order. So, like, filling in, like, a gap of what the character can morph into.
Yeah.
Is there, like, a sarcastic female type in
DC?
I would be the person to know what to.
Yeah. Yeah, do they have a Jessica Jones equivalent?
Right.
I don't think they really do, to be honest, because, I mean, Batwoman's not sarcastic. She's just snarky slash bitchy. Like, she doesn't care.
She has the authority.
I mean, I guess, like, Mother Panic would be, like, one of the closest.
But we wouldn't... I don't want to take Jodie Houser off that.
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
No. I completely agree with that, but
she's a new
artist. She's just the closest character I can think to
even
Jessica Jones.
Yeah, and even
I'm not suggesting at all. Jodie Houser, keep doing what you're doing. Please. Ever. Punch your artist right now in the throat and then keep doing what you're doing.
Maybe we're just musing too much at this point.
Yeah, right.
I think we are.
But I think this certainly sounds like we're more excited about this than not, which is, I mean, that's a good thing. I'm actually talking about it,
I'm more excited than when I initially heard the news. I was like, cool, he's going to be writing new books like he always does.
Right, but there's so much potential. Like, what?
Yeah.
And we're probably, like, the announcement was going to be made and we're going, oh, crap, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what he's going to be doing. Oh my god, no way!
Everybody starts dabbing.
there was some talks from Scott Snyder that he said he's looking forward to working with.
Yes!
So that may mean we are dealing with something in the Batman.
How many pairs of pants would you have to go through if Stepan Sechik and Brian Michael Bendis started working together?
That's my hat. I don't know what else to mean.
Stepan Sechik.
I'm sorry, Stepan Sechik.
His Twitter account is actually how to pronounce his name. Awesome.
Okay, well...
It knocked my hat off.
You have more news, right?
I have more news, not DC or Marvel, though.
Okay, so let's... one last Marvel news, and we'll see what this kind of rise gets out of everybody. There's a new X-Men title coming. It's called X-Men Red, and it's going to be led by the resurrected Jean Grey.
No more X-Men!
Let's just stop. I don't care. I've never cared about X-Men, and this makes my caring, like, into the negative. Like,
they're gonna run out of currently colors
zero.
Before they run out of X-Men.
X-Men magenta.
X-Men tangerine. X-Men violet.
X-Men tangerine sounds delicious.
new drink for cafe! Anyways.
Okay, so don't give a fuck. How about you, Kat? Got any more Marvel DC news?
Stop making X-Men comics! I'm good.
We're doing out-of-continuity stuff, because I really feel like DC's doing an amazing thing with having Batman and having Detective Comics, and then having all of these miniseries that are absolute blast.
Yeah, no, that's true. Give us miniseries solo titles.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Stop X-Men. If it's being led by Jean Grey, why is it the X-Men? Just throwing that out there.
ex-ladies.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, why not, like, why not have an ex-women title? Like, wouldn't that be dope?
That would be way more kick-ass!
That would be a much better title than X-Men Red.
Yeah, X, yeah.
They're not even using, like, They're still in primary colors, man.
Let's just have an all-female team like they tried to do with A-Force. That's actually was really good in that.
Everybody's still upset. Just stop making more X-Men titles. I don't want to see another goddamn book about X-Men in some color.
Anyway, well, here's some good news that especially you will like, Matt.
Uh-oh.
I heard that Taika Waititi, the director of Thor Ragnarok, he's not official on this yet, but he has made some very strong comments about directing the live-action Akira movie. Yeah, so they are making a live-action Akira adaptation, and his quote...
God, they're trying.
Yeah, and they don't have a director yet, obviously, so Taika was talking about doing it, and his quote from this was, "Don't adapt animes that are already made and perfect. Adapt the comic books into a new movie." So... yeah, it's a crazy idea.
I just bought his laptop. I can't throw it.
So he's basically like, if I made it, which I'm not technically doing right now, I would not reshoot the anime shot for shot because that's a stupid idea. I would actually like take the comic books and make my own movie.
At least that's what he's doing, and he's not like, this is Death Note. Just fucking kidding. This is garbage.
Yeah. Well, that's where Death Note went wrong too, is they tried to reshoot the anime basically just in like a different setting, and it didn't work. It's not an adaptation of the comic books. It's an adaptation of an adaptation.
And this is why it worked so well.
So they went back to adapt
the book. The miniseries exists on its own. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So if this happens, and I'm trying to find some information right here. Akira as a comic book, I believe, is 6 volumes.
Yeah.
And that's something... that certainly means that they would probably be looking at a series of films if they're going to do it. Because 6 volumes adapted into one movie. I've only read the 3/4 of the first volume of Akira, and I was like, oh my god, this is so different from the movie. All of these things are happening. So...
I can't handle it!
Exactly. And that's the thing. I don't know how you do this, but he's also said that he wanted to use Asian actors as well and set it in Neo Tokyo.
What? So, using Asian actors for something set in Asia?
I know, strange. Which is great. I feel like this is such a pipe dream. Although, now that Thor Ragnarok has made a boatload of cash...
That movie was really good. I actually don't normally care for Thor very much, but I actually enjoyed that movie.
Well, okay, we'll have that discussion here pretty soon.
We'll save it for a sec, yeah.
But that sounds great. I'm excited about this. This sounds great. I would love to see some official announcements. I want to just be on it and make a statement.
More news. Either of you?
No.
No, I got nothing.
Okay, I just have one last bit of news, and that is we got to see the first poster of Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor.
Yeah!
For the new series in her, like, really, like, spunky kind of outfit,
spunky,
I guess.
Spunky, quirky.
We hit this moment in time where you hit Kat's weakness, which was sci-fi, so I'm like, her outfit's cool. I know nothing about Doctor Who, and I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have time for that.
She basically has the David Tennant-style trench coat with a t-shirt and suspenders.
Yes, you can see suspenders.
I think they were rainbow suspenders too.
Yeah. Really cool. It was a vertical striped shirt with horizontal
suspenders. I'm not saying that I want
her
to be gay, but I'm saying I want her to be gay just because of the suspenders.
Now we're going to go into
just
the
because of the suspenders. Because of how many gay people have a monopoly on suspenders.
Rainbow set!
Okay. I have to make a statement about this as a Doctor Who fan. It's impossible for the Doctor to be gay because the Doctor is not of any specific sex.
That is true.
The Doctor exists. He's a different race entirely.
They are.
Exactly. The Time Lords are not necessarily female or male.
That's true. Fair enough.
That's why it makes sense to present the fucking Doctor as a woman.
Yeah.
I
that's why
we had this discussion before when it was first announced.
That's why in all the recent series, they've not even gotten ever close to, like, a kiss.
Yeah. Well, you know who makes sense? River Song. That whole thing was perfect.
Yeah. No, that was the female romantic story arc that you needed. And
that
it turned
actually
out in
worked.
The end, like, that would never work because of specific reasons that are spoilers. For those of you who have not seen Doctor Who.
But what a lovely storyline.
I don't sleep!
We can have perfect time to watch Doctor Who.
I am busy.
But yeah, I did see a funny comment that was like, because like, it was like a perspective shot with her standing in the foreground and the TARDIS in the background, and somebody was like, no, that would never work, this is totally illogical, the TARDIS is way too small for her to stand in.
That's awesome.
It was like,
it's bigger
up.
On the inside, okay?
Yeah, that was one of the replies.
Oh,
to
nice.
The comment. Yeah. But it was.
I don't
it was
know, the
a
fact that
up.
She has, like, rainbow suspenders, I'm a little jazzed. That's pretty cool.
She has a great, like,
jazz.
Quirky look.
Jazz suspenders.
A lot of people are saying that she's reminding them of Tom Baker.
Mm.
Like, there's just something about her look that's very, like, strange and just sort of, like, well, alien.
Yeah.
Which is what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're coming off of what was one of the darkest looks for the Doctor
with Peter Capaldi.
Yeah, with Capaldi, so.
Yeah, definitely, like, the grittiest actor to play Doctor Who yet.
Which, you know, that had a time and a place.
Mm-hmm.
Although I wish we had more John Hurt Doctor, I will say that.
Yeah, fair enough. Or apparently it wasn't, like, not Idris Elba, but wasn't somebody... I want to say Idris Elba was, like, in talks of doing the Doctor.
I would watch that show in a heartbeat.
I know, though, right?
Good lord. Speaking of Idris
speaking
Elba.
Speaking of Idris Elba, let's get into our discussion topic, Thor Ragnarok.
Woo!
So I was telling Kat, actually, after the movie, I'm pretty sure...
Oh, spoilers.
Yes.
I'm sure we're going to go
spoiler,
into it.
Spoilers.
You've been warned.
But I'm pretty sure that Idris Elba, Jeff Goldblum, and Anthony Hopkins all just play themselves in that movie. Like, I can totally see Idris Elba just, like, going to work, like, oh, it's an army of the undead, let me get my double, like, sword and start fighting them. And Anthony Hopkins is basically Odin.
Yeah, he just does Shakespeare, and that's it.
He just, like, sits and, you know,
he's
like,
just gonna do a monologue
couch, like, being fed by, like, grapes, oops, you know, like, in his spare time. Like, that's what he does at his house. And then,
that's
of course,
amazing.
Jeff Goldblum just, like, owns a planet.
That is probably the most believable one, because all I could think of, like, in that role was him in Star Trek, in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's what happened to Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Yeah.
He decided to buy a planet.
Yeah, that's what actually happened.
Yeah, time works really weird here. I'd be like,
because,
hell,
guys,
yeah.
Life happens.
Life finds
a
way. Yeah. Okay, so my big review of Thor Ragnarok... I really liked it as a movie. The exposition in it was really rushed and really random. The dialogue was super on point.
Yeah.
Oh my God, so much.
It's one of the best written, I think, dialogue-heavy films.
Yeah,
but
I totally agree.
I have a problem with it as a movie. Like, it's super amazing. Okay, this is going to be, like, the weird, like, I'm fucking standing on a soapbox, hoity-toity, twiddling my mustache.
I got my hat ready. I'm ready for throwdowns.
I loved watching the movie. I think it's a great theatrical experience. I feel like nothing happened. Like, when I sit down and go, they destroyed Mjolnir, and, yeah.
I mean, like, what would you have wanted to happen?
I don't know, like, the movie felt so fast, like, it didn't slow down enough to get any character beats with the exception of Valkyrie. Like, Valkyrie was the only person who was developed in the story. Everybody else is the same as they were at the beginning as they are at the end. And it's fun to watch. It was as...
I have Led Zeppelin in my head now.
The music was, like, all of it is... It was like going to the candy store and just having this overload of sugar and then being like, wow, I feel like my stomach hurts, but I don't want... I would have never done that differently. Like, I still would have gone in there and ate all the candy because I just don't care.
That's a really great analogy. Well... I would say, since, like, basically the only characters that had, like, arcs in it were the three Revengers. The Thor, I feel like, has already been established as a character.
Yeah.
And, like, basically the whole movie is kind of, like, him sort of, like, trying to come to terms with losing Mjolnir, but, like, not being able to because of the events in the movie. Like, Valkyrie does get an arc. And then I do feel like Bruce Banner definitely gets a little bit of a character arc since he was, like, trapped in the Hulk for 2 years.
I still
not
have the feeling
he should have gotten
that Banner never fully transforms back into Banner. They like the way that they portray him is almost like he's still like childlike when he's as Banner. So I don't feel like I'm not sure we actually saw Banner in the movie. I think that he's just kind of this weird in between stage,
like a small Hulk.
Yeah, like he's calmed Hulk instead of being Banner outside of.
Well, I mean, that would make sense considering he jumps out of like a plane,
yeah,
2 feet above the ground and
right?
survives.
Like, there's a lot of that, and then like him being all goofy and putting the sunglasses on is like, I'm Tony Stark.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Like, there's a lot of weird elements to it. And like I said, I enjoy watching the movie. I will own this on Blu-ray, and I honestly think the first 15 minutes of the film is the best Thor movie we've ever got. It was like straight out of comic moments. It was
just, I just love the fact, wait. All right, continue. Wait.
Yeah. That was like probably one of the best things ever. I swear, I'm not doing this on my
like
own.
It's just doing this.
Yeah,
I love that like whole sequence, and then we get Mjolnir cam, so we're like following the camera.
Oh yeah. That was such a cool scene when he was going in circles with him at the center of it. That
so
was
I have motion sickness, shot. So that happened.
Like, Taika Waititi. Amazing cinematography.
Amazing cinematography.
Amazing cinematography.
Amazing actor as well.
the delivery on that is, he's mine after I finish this. One of the best character intros, I think, just in general.
One of the best characters just in general. Give me a freaking Valkyrie movie.
Yeah,
know.
That's true.
I don't know. I still like the big baddie. I don't dislike
Hela.
I thought she was off. Fucking badass, like.
No, she was awesome.
Like, the sheer, like, her fighting style in that movie, of course, the cinematography comes into play that.
Right.
But, like, her fighting style, like,
elegant, but
extremely ridiculous.
I wanted more from her, like, and I wanted it to slow down a bit more.
Yeah.
Like, cause honestly, the idea of her and Valkyrie having history and that sequence, I could have watched that as like a 15 minute part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I've been
much
more interested in that. I also,
special edition.
Right? Well, and there's some like weird continuity stuff, and I think just as a super nerd, that bothers me is like.
Thor is another one of the blind spot ones, so.
Right. Well, Mjolnir itself, it was always mentioned as being a creation for Thor, but clearly in the artwork, Hela wielded Mjolnir at one point.
Yeah.
And, which makes sense as to why she can destroy it, like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, my favorite part of the movie, and this is such a sweaty comic book nerd thing, is when Hela appears, she fucking steps out of a Jack Kirby drawing. Legitimately, there's black Kirby dots, and they actually have them be just like black spheres of ooze, and she literally walks out of a Kirby circle.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
true. I didn't even
I'm just
that.
Sitting in theater going, wow. You know, like, it was so visually perfect.
Who's the one who played her? Because she did a kick-ass job.
Kate Blanchett.
Dude, she, oh my god.
From Galadriel to Hela.
Like, I was just like, you a bitch.
She's amazing. I can't believe how young she looks. Like, she
I was just like, you could kick my ass anytime.
She's approaching 50, if not already.
But
there.
Also, she has the perfect, like, look for that. Because she looks young in, like, a lot of shots, but then, like, also looks, like, ancient.
Right,
I
exactly.
I think the thing is with her, though, is kind of what I noticed is it's the eyes.
Because
her face is extremely young looking, but her eyes, man, they sell you on.
Yeah, that is true.
On, like,
the old soul.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, super fun. What was your overall thoughts? I mean, you really haven't said anything.
I mean, I thought it was great. Like I said, I love the villain in it. Like, she's probably one of my, like, I kind of wanted to go, like, Wikipedia search last night and actually learn everything about Hela because I thought she was the, like, super kick-ass.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you had the Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Which, she was totally badass, too, and I'm just like, I'm enjoying the fact that you had Wonder Woman, and then of course in a Thor movie, like I didn't give two shits about Thor. Like that entire movie, I was like either about Hela or I was about Valkyrie.
Is that a problem with the movie? Is it a problem with the movie that you really didn't give two shits about the lead character?
I would say it's not, because it's more of a like world building. Like there's so much there's so much excess, and there's so many well built extra characters that you don't even technically need a main character.
Yeah, and that was
even though it's entitled Thor, it's more of like a Magnolia thing where there's 15 side characters,
and that was kind of my thing too. Is you saw more into the Thor universe, and I'm hoping that they're going to bring back the Valkyrie because she has to have.
She will be in Infinity War for sure,
mm-hmm.
And she already went to Kevin Feige and said, "Where's their female led superhero team?" And he said, "Okay,
yeah."
Well, and that was my biggest thing. Is I don't know it. It was awesome. Like, I thought the most badass people in that movie and had the most badass scenes were the females. When Thor came out and did his stuff, I was like, that's badass. But, when they did their shit, when she walks out in her armor, I was like, you a badass.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The gun joke in the airplane when they were in the spaceship where she has it between her legs and it's this giant freaking... My wife tapped me. She's like...
Yeah, although there was there was very strong female leads for sure, it still didn't pass the Bechdel test. That's very sad for me.
The one thing I will say about this though is I remember when this movie originally came out and the one who was playing the Valkyrie,
mm-hmm.
she actually had come out saying not every female superhero needs to be sexy, and she wasn't really sexy in that movie. She was just
nope.
I never thought of her as any sort of oh wow.
She's hot because it's Tessa Thompson. Naturally gorgeous.
That's like my norm. It's I see a person and think they're attractive, not she was painted up for me to think she was attractive.
She was completely covered.
Exactly.
I think the only bare thing she had was her arms, and she just looked like an Asgardian warrior.
So exactly. I guess I should have specified the Bechdel test isn't sexiness thing.
The female character.
Fair enough.
Because you don't see that very often, and so for me, I was like, "Thank you." I'm not saying Wonder Woman isn't exactly dressed like that, mm-hmm. like a warrior like that. And I just remember those comments that she made that she's like, "Female superheroes don't have to be sexy."
No.
And I'm like, "No," and I appreciated that much because they could have totally made that Hollywood and bullcrap. And
you know what I wanted more of now, thinking and sitting and talking about it.
Even what's her name? Wasn't really scantily clad. I mean,
she was fully covered.
She might have had skin tight, but
Her shoulder, and not even down to that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a collarbone shot, mm-hmm. basically.
I wanted more of the Hulk and Valkyrie relationship.
Because
it was very it was cute. It was this older sister helping out her little baby bro.
They're best friends, man.
Yeah. Hey, big guy.
I wanted more of the gladiators. Honestly, I wanted more of Corey and Meek.
Oh, Meek's dead, man.
I feel really bad. Oh my god.
So I can't. I've been carrying him around.
Yeah.
Take away TDP. Everything.
At that moment, I thought he was I believed him, and I was like, "Oh my god, that's dark."
Yeah.
He's just fucking carrying around a dead dude.
No.
Well, that's still dark because he thinks he's dead until he comes back.
So this is the best part. So me and Patrick saw the movie at the same time, and Patrick's in the way front. I'm in the back. You heard the person say it, right? That's not funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that you?
Somebody yelled in the middle of the theater. Because I was in the back. Patrick's in the front. Yeah,
everyone's laughing. And then when it sort of dies down a little bit, some guy's like, "That's not funny."
Oh my god. Yeah, it was a really funny movie, too.
Yeah.
You were making, I think, a point about the Bechdel test.
Yeah, that one.
Oh yeah.
Before we got sidetracked.
Well, so for listeners that aren't familiar with it, it's a very simple test for media in which a piece of media will pass if it has two female characters in dialogue that are not talking about a man. It's a very simple test. Very, very, very few movies and TV shows especially pass. And it's very sad that it's so simple and few pass. I don't think that it even got to the first part where it had two female characters talking together.
He's right.
I can't remember, except like Jeff Goldblum's like sidekick, like leader of the guard, and her exchanging like,
but she called her like
slight
a
banter.
Yeah,
but it wasn't a conversation.
Did Hela ever talk to Valkyrie?
I don't think so.
And if she did, she didn't answer.
I don't think they actually had a conversation. So the fact that this didn't even get to the... And that's why I was so sad, because, like, it does have such strong female characters in it, but it doesn't even get to, like, the first, like, stipulation of the Bechdel test. Not even the fact that, like, if they had a conversation, it would definitely be about Thor, Odin, or Loki. But, like, they didn't even get to the conversation part.
Wow.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Yeah. Now I can't watch movies anymore.
Yeah, no, I think if Hela and
Valkyrie had that conversation, it would actually center around the Valkyries.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it would have, I think it would have passed had they had that conversation.
Yeah, because she would have.
It could have easily done it. Because
her motivation was for Asgard itself, and for the Valkyries specifically.
Yeah. So. It's a very, and see, that's the thing about the Bechdel test that makes it so sad, is because it is so simple. And it's not like a crazy thing at all. Just have two women talking, not about a man.
Wow.
I can never watch romantic comedy again.
Yeah, or movies in general.
Pretty much.
I think about this every time I watch a movie or TV show, and it's like, it's sad.
Another quick aside in the movie, like the Doctor Strange scene.
Yeah.
Like, when the hell did Doctor Strange get that powerful?
He didn't even.
It was just like, snap his fingers, bye bye, you know? Like,
apparently, since like
the end of Doctor Strange.
The movie.
And it was literally the sequence that was put at the end credits of Doctor Strange, plus like 5 more minutes of randomness.
Yeah, I think it was mostly just like, hey, Benedict Cumberbatch, would you like to be in this movie? Sure, why not? Okay. Yeah.
Here's your paycheck.
Here's your paycheck.
Yeah, that's the kind of interconnectivity stuff that I'm excited that the DC universe won't have to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like that was one of those moments.
Like gratuitous cameos.
Absolutely love Doctor Strange. Like Doctor Strange may make it into top 3 of the Marvel movies for me. I didn't need that.
Made me want to vomit.
Yeah. No, like it was
not from a standpoint that it was bad, just like
too much.
I see why they needed it, because Heimdall was not present to do like
his
thing to see where it was. And so like I see his purpose in it. The length of the scene,
and I think the scene was badly written. There's too many jokes in that one sequence. That was the one sequence that felt forced for me on the jokey, like hearing all of the crashes of the, you know, all of
I can honestly say I enjoyed that, because he's just kind of like, are you breaking all my shit?
it lingered too long. Like, for as much comedy as there was, that was...
Well, that's the thing about, like, Taika's, like, comedy style, is that it's about, like, timing and, like, extending, like...
Okay.
Like, scenes that would be awkward into... It's basically, like, the thing where you're like, haha, that's funny... Okay, it's still going. Haha, it's funny again because it's going for so long.
Right.
And so, like...
Holding on to something the third time.
Yeah, basically. And that's, like... And that's where a lot of the humor in the movie is derived from. Like, the chain-spinning scene. Like, it's funny because it's so gratuitous. And, like, you know, the amount that he's, like... Or like all of his Korg stuff is basically like that's
Korg was so good.
That's the joke, you know, like oh, it sounds like you really loved that hammer so much, and losing it was like just like the length of that like bit of dialogue and like its delivery.
Bind you, Doug.
Yeah, bind you, Doug. Oh yeah, that's what Doug used to say all the time. Yeah, like just the amount.
Hey, I should introduce you, Doug. Oh yeah, Doug's dead.
Yeah, but just, like, the extended and, like, the Doug joke, too. Like, that's what made it so funny is because just, like, the length of, like, the amount of exposition about this character who's dead in the corner the whole time.
And he's in the scene the entire conversation.
Yeah, he is.
You don't even realize it till the end.
until he points it out.
This was a really fun movie to watch. Like, talking about it, it's another one that's like, I really would love to go and watch it again and just have a good time. Like,
yes. No, it's a fun movie. Go in expecting fun, and you will receive fun.
Yeah.
So.
All right, well, we are...
With that said, we're pretty over time, so...
Do we want to try to rush through Jetsons?
Let's
save it for the review.
Yeah, we'll save it for you guys on the other one. Since all right,
so tune in to 14.5.
Yep.
We'll do some comic reviews.
All right, yeah. That said, bye.